Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Now here's my quiz. My quiz is, what book of the Bible do you associate with this right here? Somebody say it real loud. Who said that? Back here in the back. Proverbs, Miss Joy in the back, okay? You had it right. All these people had no clue, Miss Joy, and you knew. So that's amazing. So here's binoculars. This is Mr. Brannon's pair of binoculars. He was wondering if I lost. I've got them, okay? They're right here on the front row. So I want you to look at number 4 on this Bible study. You see, Proverbs, the key word is wisdom. Seeing life from God's point of view. What does a pair of binoculars do? It enables you to see with a new perspective. And so when you live life with Proverbs in your life, you can see a perspective you never would have seen if you didn't know that book of the Bible. I really encourage you to read the proverb of the day, to read part of the, there's 31 proverbs, and many of the months there's 31 days, so you can just read one proverb in a day. When I got saved, they taught me, they said, if you'll just do that all of your life, you'll slowly begin to absorb the wisdom of God. They said that there'll be times when somebody will say, hey, I think we ought to do this, and you'll know it's not the right thing to do. And they said the reason is because you will have absorbed God's wisdom through the book of Proverbs. So I encourage you to do that. Binoculars give you a perspective you would have never had if you didn't have the binoculars. Well, guess what? In life, Proverbs gives you a perspective because it gives you wisdom. All right, what books of the Bible, what are these things, by the way? These are Kleenex. What books of the Bible? Say it out loud. Okay, that's right. Lamentations and Jeremiah. I'm going to give that as a tie. It wasn't a tie. Coley edged them out. Coley had it, okay? But Lamentations and Jeremiah, the reason that we do that, look at number 5 and number 6, although the word Kleenex is only in number 6. The reason we do that is because, listen, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. They wrote a great evangelist and they said, I'm preaching all your sermons and nothing's happening. The great preacher wrote back to the young preacher and said, try tears. Try tears. I've never forgotten that. Dr. Jess Henley used to preach. He was a great revival preacher and he preached on hell often. But my mentors always told me that Dr. Henley preached on hell different than most people. Some people preach on hell and they like preaching on hell. Some people preach on hell and what they want to do is they tell the people in the back, turn up the heat, get it hot in here, I'm going to preach on hell. I want them squirming. Some people preach on hell to rub it into people's lives. Jess Henley preached on hell with a broken heart. They had a revival in my home church one time and they had 500 people saved when he preached. Because he preached on hell with tears. Jeremiah preached with tears to the people that he preached to. So this is the reason why we have these little objects. Now you can fill the rest of those in. I want us to get into our scripture tonight. Look at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, I want you to see your little outline there. By the way, you take your own time and fill in all the answers at the top, okay? The first adult that is not one of our kids that gets a prize down here that brings me that, I'm going to give one to you, okay? I know that's highly motivational for you, I know that, but I'm trying to stir you up a little bit tonight. I want you to take your pen and under number 11 where it says Ephesians, I want you to circle number 3. Circle number 3 and I want you to circle number 4. Because what we're trying to do is take a big airplane ride over Ephesians, and I want you to know there are just two sections to Ephesians. I'm praying that when we leave here tonight, you're not going to know every little thing about Ephesians, because Ephesians is a deep, rich book of the Bible. But I'm praying that you'll have a big perspective of Ephesians. The outline of the book of Ephesians can be done by number three and number four, all right? Here's number three. I'm going to go ahead and give you the blank for it. Why we are rich. Why we are rich. And number four, how rich people live. Those are the two sections. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians could be under the outline, why are we rich in Jesus Christ? Why are we rich? That's what chapters 1 through 3 is about. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is how rich people live. In other words, he's going to tell us in the first three chapters, why are you rich? What does that all mean? And then he's going to say, now, based upon the richness that you have in Christ that we see in the book of Ephesians, how should we live? So that's the outline for you. The key word, well, let's look at some key verses. The very end, right there where it says number 11, Ephesians, on the far right it says verse. I want you to go to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, some of you probably guessed that would be the key verse. There are the key verses. There are many that could be looked at. But let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we cannot boast about the riches that we have in Christ. The key word is riches. I want you to write that down. The key word for the book of Ephesians is riches. And I'll tell you about the object towards the end. Number one, the church was founded on Paul's second journey. Look in your Bibles in the book of Acts, all right? Get your scripture out here. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Acts 18, 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came, verse 19, to Ephesus. He was on this second missionary journey. He had Priscilla and Aquila with him. And verse 19 says, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. On his second journey, he went to Ephesus. He had two people with him, Priscilla and Aquila, and he left them at Ephesus. He did not stay very long. But now listen, he came back later to Ephesus and stayed 3 years. This is one of the locations Paul stayed the longest. And he really poured in. But the church was pretty much founded on that second journey with Priscilla and Aquila. Now, here's the key concept of the book of Ephesians. The key concept, the immeasurable riches that are ours in Jesus Christ. Now, why are we rich? All right, chapters 1 through 3. First of all, in chapter 1, go back to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I learned when I mixed those up, General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all right? That's just my way of remembering it. If I ever say it out loud when I'm preaching, just, you know, hey, bear with me, all right? But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And it goes on to talk about how that before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. You know why you're rich? Because you were on the heart of God from the foundation of the world. Now, I can't figure all this out, y'all. I know I know that we are to dig into the Word of God, and we are to understand all that we can understand, but the whole concept of God's sovereign predestined choice of those that would believe, and then man's human responsibility to trust in the Lord is difficult for me to reconcile. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And there are some things that I think that we are going to understand when we get to heaven, and perhaps not even then. We won't really worry about it as much as we do now. All I know is that the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, I was chosen in him. I also know this, that Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. The Bible also says in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him. That drives me to know that the decision to give our lives to Jesus Christ rests in the hands of the person whom the Lord died for. But at the same time, I know that I'm chosen in the Lord. So why are you rich? One thing is that we are chosen by God. The other thing is in chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have been redeemed. One of the reasons that we're rich, we have been bought. Jesus Christ bought you. If you are a believer in him, he thought you were so important that he would purchase you, and he saved you, he redeemed you. In chapter 1, verse 13, we are sealed. Look at that. In chapter 1, verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. By the way, it's interesting. Look at this. In verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So then you see man's side of the equation. It's like a coin. On one side is God's sovereign choice of you. On the other side is your believing on the gospel. Okay? And then it says, you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then if you continue there and look at verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? In other words, the Holy Spirit is the down payment. You are getting an inheritance. Ephesians says, you are getting an inheritance, riches untold, that you are receiving. Now, these are spiritual riches, and not necessarily monetary riches, but spiritual blessings. By the way, who would put a price tag on eternity with God versus hell separated from God, or the winner of the Powerball lottery? By the way, did somebody win it? They said they were going to draw it. Y'all not in the lottery, are you? Okay, sorry. Well, I'm more into it than you, I guess, or whatever. No, I was just reading about it, and they said that that it was going to be done on Saturday, that if no one won, it was going to go to over $1 billion. That's what they said. So, I mean, hey, kind of thought that was news. You know, I was just interested in knowing, but none of you guys, y'all are all spiritual. Y'all don't know anything about it, do you? Okay, wonderful. Okay, well, thank you. By the way, I think at one of our white elephant events, I'm not going to say what event I was at, I opened a present, there was a lottery ticket in there. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, so the bottom line is that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was your earnest. One of the old King James way of saying it, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of your inheritance. If you go buy a house, you have to put down earnest money. And that says that if you back out of this, then they get to keep your money. See? Hey, listen, the Lord Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Let me tell you something. He ain't backing out of what he's promised us. And so we have that inheritance. Can I say this? You're rich. You're rich with spiritual blessings. Why are we rich? Well, we're chosen by God. We've been redeemed. We've been sealed. Verse 2, 8, and 9, we know this. We have been given God's grace. We have God's grace, God's favor. Somebody has said that grace could be, you can say it this way, using the acrostic grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We have God's riches at Christ's expense. The Lord Jesus died on the cross so that we could have his spiritual riches. And then, here's the other thing. In chapter 2, look at this real quickly. Chapter 2, verse 19, it says this, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We are placed in the church. You're rich, ladies and gentlemen. You're in the church. God has placed you in the church. This is one of the reasons Ephesians shouts the riches of God to the believer in Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 3, and of course there are probably many, many other ones you could pull out of these chapters, but I'm just trying to hit some of the highlights. In chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, "That he would grant you according to the riches," there's the word riches, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." All right, letter F under number 3, we are given strength in life. You say, "Pastor, how do we know we're rich?" Well, look at this, just these right here. We're chosen by God, we've been redeemed, we've been sealed, we have God's grace, we're placed in the church, we have, he has given us strength in life. So chapters 1 through 3, why we are rich. That's an outline for you. All right? Number 4, how rich people live. Have you ever heard of the book, The Millionaire Next Door? Never heard of it, have you? Okay. We have a few. Somebody told me about that book, and I heard a story that everybody has the mentality that, you know, hey, if someone was a millionaire, boy, they'd wear the latest tailored suit, and they'd wear they would drive the latest car, and that they would, you know, they would be real lavish in their lifestyle. And a guy was doing research, and so he sent out an invitation to these millionaires to interview them. And he said, "Come to this hotel," and it was a real swanky place. "Come to this hotel, and I'm going to have caviar for you, and I'm going to have this, that, and that." And nobody showed up. These millionaires, they weren't attracted to that. He wrote them back, said, "Come back to this place. I'm going to have barbecue, and I'm going to give you $100 for coming." And they showed up. That book was all about how do millionaires really live. You know what they found out? They don't drive all brand new, super expensive cars. They don't wear the latest suits. I think they said that the JCPenney Stafford suit was the number one suit amongst those millionaires. The point is that book was written to say, look, if you were a millionaire, how do millionaires live? Well, let me tell you what chapters 4, 5, and 6 are telling us. If you are rich in Christ, how should you live? So that's what we're looking at, all right? Well, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to live in unity. We're going to love each other. We're going to live in unity. Chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called." He's introducing the subject. "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Letter B, we're going to live, listen, different than before. In chapter 4, verse 17, the scripture says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." And he goes on, you can read more and more, verses 22 through 32. If you are rich in Christ, how should you live? Paul makes it unmistakably clear. Let me tell you one thing, it will be different. You should live a different life. If you were living for yourself and all of a sudden you, quote, got religion, and you're living the same way, you didn't get Jesus. But if you got Jesus, you're going to live different. God is going to change you. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But it means that the trajectory of your life is going to be different. And so he makes that clear, that's part of what it means. All right? Y'all with me? Okay, good. Letter C, we are to reject evil in chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. "But fornication and all uncleanliness cleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, we are to reject evil because we are rich. How do the rich live? How do rich people live in Christ? They are to reject evil. Letter D, filled with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Letter E, love your spouse. Ephesians 5, 22 and following, there's a whole section that if the riches of Christ have come into your life, it'll change your home. It'll change the way you treat your spouse, all right? And then the last thing, and we're almost done, the last one is win. And it's really win the battle. I ran out of room. Can y'all appreciate that with me? Hey, this is not easy, man. I should get a little bonus for this. I mean, this drives me crazy every week. If this is not helping you, you let me know, because I can quit it easy. But anyway, I ran out of room. Win the battle in prayer. Because chapter 6 is where he says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and power. And he says, put on the full armor of God. So we went in prayer. So there's your outline, your basic outline. Don't remember, you're not going to remember all these little points. You can keep that in your Bible or put it away somewhere. Don't you throw it away. But anyway, number 3, why we are rich, he gives us that, and then how rich people live. Now, here's the problem. There are many of us, we're in Christ and we're rich, but we don't live that way. Number 5, don't live like you are poor. Remember Pastor Jesse. Write that down. Jesse McElreath was Kelly and my pastor when we were in seminary. He was one of the pastors at the church where we attended. He told the story of being in Germany. They had invited him to speak at a Bible conference. I think I've told this story before, but it makes the point. That's another way of saying I like to hear myself tell it. Okay, so no. All right, but it makes the point. Pastor Jesse went over there to preach at this Bible conference, and he raised his own money to go, and he didn't have hardly any money when he got there. He got his ticket. And he got his ticket home. He knew he was going to get home, but he didn't have a lot of money to eat out or anything. So he went to a little store and bought some cheese and crackers. And so when everybody else was going out to eat, all his preacher friends, and he was like a keynote speaker. I mean, this guy was like, you know, preaching, and all the people were coming up and talking to him. But when it became time to eat, man, he was going back to the room, and he was nibbling on cheese and nibbling on crackers. And the last day, he was out in the lobby, and one of his friends there came up to him and said, Jesse, man, come in here and eat with us. Man, where have you been all week? We've been enjoying our fellowship in here around the tables, and, man, I want you to come sit with us. And he said, oh, no. And he said, no, really, I want you to come. I want you to come. And finally, Jesse told his friend, he knew him well enough, he said, man, I know it's the last day, but, man, I'm just flat out of money. His friend said, Jesse, didn't you know it was all included? He said, what do you mean? He said, you're on a full ride here. By being in this hotel, you got all your meals. He said, you mean to tell me I could have been down there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the buffet? He said, absolutely. Folks, listen. Jesus has provided you every spiritual blessing. It says it in the scripture, in the heavenlies. But many times we live non-victorious lives. In other words, how are we to live all these things? Jesus has given us the power to do it. In prayer, we can win in prayer. We can love our spouses. We can reject evil. Do not let the devil cause you to cave in to say, oh, woe is me. It's so difficult. Yes, it may be difficult, but anything the Lord has called you to do, he's given you the power to do it. So don't live like you're poor. Remember Pastor Jesse. For the object up there, I just want you to write the word safe. A safe. You have a safe full of riches that God has for you, an inheritance that is yours. All right? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.